Okay, we'll start here on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph by the two dots. We're discussing in here what the Mishnah had said, which was, Hitizet the Rosh Bevat Achat. If he took the head off in one shot, then it's psula. On the other hand, if he was doing it in a motion, back and forth motion, where he only went in a single direction, then we said as long as it's in that motion, even though it popped the head off, that was fine. On that, we mentioned this in the Mishnah, but that came from what we know about the Gemara, which is Amar Rabbi Zeira, Melod Tzavar V'chutz L'Tzavar, that the knife, the length of the knife has to be that it takes up the entire neck, plus an addition to that. The question is, what is that addition that he's talking about? And that's the Gemara's question. Hibaylehu. Melod Tzavar V'chutz L'Tzavar K'melod Tzavar. When we say that the additional amount beyond the neck length of the knife, it means a neck length worth of knife, plus an additional neck length worth of the knife. I mean, the knife is two neck lengths worth. To have a trade savare, it would be the equivalent of having two neck lengths worth. Odilmum lo tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar mashu. That means that it has to be a neck length worth, plus what outside of it means just an additional amount outside of it. So tashma, let's look at this. Hayah shochet ve'itiz shnei rashim bevat achat. He went ahead and he was shochet and he popped off two heads in one shot. Im yesh l'sakin melot tzavar echad, if the sakin has one neck length's worth, kasher, then it's fine. Now, my melot tzavar echad, what does it mean that it has one neck length's worth? Ilem melot tzavar echad, literally, it only has one neck length's worth, but too low and no more. Hashto bevehema echad bina melot tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar. Here, when we have a single behema, we require a minimum of a neck length's worth plus something else. V'shtei behemot zagluk melot tzavar echad. All of a sudden here, when you have two animals, then just the neck length's worth is going to be sufficient? That doesn't make sense. Elipshita, what is this melot savar speaking about in that case? Talking about a melot savar, chutz l'shnei tzvarim, means that beyond the length of the two necks of those animals, you'll need an additional neck length's worth of the knife. Shmamina, that over here, it's melot savar, chutz l'tzavar, shmamina, that in order to do the shchita and it to be kasher, you need to have a knife that is two neck length's worth. One neck length, where the knife is actually sitting on the behema, and then another neck length's worth, so that when you pull the knife, it will slice through the neck, and it will do it in a motion of pulling, not with drasa, with pushing down. That also points out that, truthfully, you really don't need a whole neck length's worth. Even though we're saying that you do need it, we only say that to make you feel more comfortable, and to feel relaxed about the shchita, that you'll have plenty of knife room to go, and you won't worry about it. Because what really makes a difference is how sharp the knife is. How sharp the knife is will determine as you pull how deeply it'll move as you're moving it along. I mean that the motion, the downward motion is determined by the sharpness of the knife as you pull or push the knife through. So therefore, Tosfot points out that the actual knife length is not really relevant over here. We just say that you need another neck length's worth to make it safety. That's why we demand it. But truthfully, even if it was less or more, it would all depend on the sharpness of the knife and the movement and how far it would go through the neck. Now, we continue with the Mishnah B'Medvar, Mishnah B'Shaban Sholich V'lo Yivi. The case in the Mishnah is where he only went in one direction. Of course, if he goes in back and forth motion, then we said you can use any size knife that you want. Amar Rav Nasha b'Izmel she'en lo karnayim. We're talking about here the lancet or the scalpel that we said the Mishnah allows you to use, the very small knife that you can use and go back and forth. That's assuming it doesn't have karnayim. Karnayim are these decorative turns in the knife, a decorative flip that turns the knife back, almost folds it back. You can see that on the Mohel's knife. Sometimes they have that. It's a decorative curve on the knife. Problem with those are that they stick out. And there's a possibility that those decorations or those points on the knife would catch on the simanim or during the shechita and it would cause a problem. So the only time you're allowed to use such a small knife and not worry about it getting caught if it's only a knife. If there's an additional decorative aspect to it that makes it pointy, has a protrusion of some sort, that would cause a problem. So now, Amale Rav Acha Breid of Avya, Rav Nasha, Machto Mai. Can you use a pin, a needle? Can you use that for shechita? Amle machto mibza baza says, when it comes to a needle, there's nothing to speak about because a needle does not cut, it punctures. It's sharp and it punctures as it moves. It's not sharp like a knife's blade where it would cut, but rather puncture. And obviously that's not good for shkita. Says, no, that's not my question. My question is machto dushkape. I'm talking about the knife of the cobblers. These are the cobblers, the shoemakers, or the leather workers. Their knives, something Rashi describes equivalent to an exacto knife. Something that you can hold in your hand, that you can pull along, some sort of precision to make the markings and to slice the leather. So, Mai, what's the din there? Zamarle Tanina. That's our Mishnah. Afilu Kolshehu. That our Mishnah says that you can have any size knife. So even this small knife would be okay. So my lav, what does it mean koshu over here? Machto dushkape. Koshu means even the exacto knife, even the knife that's being used by these leather workers. So lo, maybe it means koshu means ismel. It means the scalpel or the lancet. Or it says ismel behedjik tanila. What do you mean? I don't need you to tell me ismel because it says koshu and then it says ismel. I have it already explicit in the Mishnah. When it says no, perushe kamifarish. The Mishnah has explained to you, what does it mean, my koshu? What is a knife that's a koshu that you're allowed to use? Ismail. That's a lancet or a scalpel. Achenami mistavru. That makes a lot of sense. This akadat ko machtodush kape is okay. Then, hashad machtodush kape sharya ismail mi boy. If you could use this exacto knife, then why do you have to tell me about the scalpel or the lancet? It's already a smaller knife. If you told me the chiddush about the smaller knife, you wouldn't have to tell me about the ismail. The fact that the Mishnah mentions ismail, it sounds like that's the minimum. That's the bottom line. So if that's the case, it would exclude the case of machto dush kape. The Gemara says, no. Ismail, there's a chiddush by the scalpel. There's a chiddush over here. It's trichle. Sakadat chamina ligzor. I would make a gzeir over here. Ismail she'en lo kernayim. Otu ismail she'esh lo kernayim. Maybe I would make a gzeira in this instance for a scalpel or lancet that does not have karnayim. Atu, that you might use a knife that does have karnayim, does have that decorative piece to it. So maybe I would have been gozer in that instance. The answer is no, that we're not gozer. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that you can use this knife, even though there are issues with this knife in a different manifestation. If this knife has karnayim on it, it would be problematic. So the Kamash Malon is that if this knife is okay. That's the case, and the Ismail there is not coming to tell us what the minimum size of the knife is. It's just coming to tell us something specific about the Ismail that we're not gozera otu. But maybe even a machta dushkape would be okay for doing the shchita. Right, you have to. Right, that's true. You have to be using this. You have to be using it like a knife, not like a needle. This machta dushkape, which Rashi describes as an awl, it seems to have. It's a sharp needle, but also has like a blade-like side to it, because it's not just a single point, but rather more like a chisel or an exacto knife that has a knife side to it. You have to use it, or it has to use it as a function as a knife, not as something that punctures like a needle. Okay, so now the next Mishnah. Nafla sakin v'shachta. You have this knife on the shelf, and it fell off the shelf, and it just happens to do a shchita. So afo pish shachta kidarka, even though it does a perfect shchita, psula, that's no good. Shenemar v'zavachta v'achalta. You do the zvicha, you do the shchita, then you can eat it. If the shchita happens by itself, you can't eat it. So Mar says, time of the nafla. Our Mishnah, the problem is that the knife fell by itself. Hahi pila hu. If he himself threw the knife, meaning that the knife was actively moved in that direction, then afagav delomi kavein, even though he has no intention of cutting, no intention of doing shchita, because it came from koach adam, then it'd be fine. The demand over here is that there be a koach adam, that a person be involved in the process. Even if he knocks the knife off the shelf, as long as it's him that's moving the knife and causing the movement of the knife, that's fine. What we're excluding from the Mishnah is a case where that happens by itself, that happens without any koach adam there. So man tana d'lo bain and kavana l'shkita. Who's the author of such a position that says by shkita you require absolutely no kavana? Meaning you don't even need kavana for chaticha. You don't even need a kavana for it to cut. You just simply need koach adam over here. Who's the author of such a position? Amarov of Rabbi Natan he. That we have from Rabbi Natan. Detani Oshia Zira de Min Chevraya. So now Oshia, and then we have Min Chevraya. Oshia is the name of the individual, obviously. And the Min Chevraya means from the Bnei Yeshiva. The question is, Zira, what is that modifying? Rashi brings down two interpretations. One is that it's Oshia Zira. That's his name. His name is the young, the latter Oshia. That was from the Bnei Yeshiva. The other possibility is that Zira is modifying the Min Chavraya, which is it's Tani Oshia, who is the Zira de Min Chavraya. He's the youngest one in the Beit Midrash, who's the youngest Talmud Chacham there. So Zira could go either way over here. Nevertheless, we have a Braita from him that says, Zarak Sakin Lenoatza Bekotel. He was a knife thrower, and he was practicing, and he threw the knife into the wall. Velchav Shachta Kedarkan. Along the way, it happened to pass by the animal and do a nice Shchita right on the way. Rabbi Natan Machshir, Rabbi Natan says, perfect, that's a kosher shchita. V'chamim poslim. On the other hand, the chamim are posel, because the chamim require, we're going to see that later on today's daf, at least a minimum kavana lechaticha. You have to be intending to cut. And as Tosfot over here says, not only you have to be intending to cut, you have to be intending to cut the simanim. But not that you need kavana l'shchita, but you have to have kavana for chaticha at least. That's what Rashi says, and Tosfot even adds on, it has to be chaticha simanin. But according to Rabbi Natan, all you require is that there's koach adam, and that's what you have here. He's throwing the knife to the wall, you have koach adam, that's a kosher shchita. Therefore, Rabbi Natan will be the author of the position in our Mishnah. Where it says, Hutanila, he brought down this braita, v'lamar lo, and then he himself said, Alocha ki Rabbi Natan. So afterwards, Rabbi said, Alocha is like Rabbi Natan, that we require absolutely no kavana here. V'ha'amrach, Rabbi Chodazimna. Didn't Rabbi already tell us this information once before? Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Mishnah, v'kulan sheshachtu v'acherim ro'im otam shchitatan k'shira. It's the first Mishnah in the Sechta we looked at. That anybody, these people who do a shchita, other people are watching over them, their shchita is good. Who those people are, they're people obviously who are invalid to do shchita. If someone else stands over them, then they can impose the kavana or the necessary guidelines here, and the shchita is ksheira. Over there, Rava says, Vama Rava, Rabbi Natan hi. Rabbi Natan is the author of our Mishnah over there. Because it's see from that Mishnah that Vamrinan mantana dlo bai kavana the shchita. Who's the Tana doesn't require any kavana for shchita? Because you're talking about people here who may not be bnei dat, and they still are good for shchita because someone else is watching over them. The person watching over them can help them, can guide them, but he can't impose kavana. So even with that lack of kavana, we still see it's a good shchita. So who's the author of such a position? Rava said it was Rabbi Natan. So Rava's already taught us that piece of information, that when we know that someone is doing shchita without kavana, that must be according to Rabbi Natan. So why does he need to tell me about it over here as well? Now, the Gemara doesn't ask from the Mishnah. That's a Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Perek, and we have a Mishnah over here. The reason the Gemara doesn't ask the stira between the Mishnayot is because, or you already taught us this in a Mishnah already, is because it's not explicit in the Mishnah. It's only out of the diuk of the Mishnah that we come to this. The diuk in our Mishnah is that nafla, if it fell by itself, it's no good, but hahi pila, if it was thrown down, then it would be good. So it's only out of the diuk do we know that information that you don't buy kavana. So therefore, it's not explicit in the Mishnah. That's why we don't ask from one Mishnah to the other, but rather Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. And even in Rava's explanation of the Mishnah, the reason we're asking is, okay, so he's telling us that Rabbi Natan's the author of the Mishnah. That's fine. So why is that a big deal? Okay, so that's great. He taught us that information before, and now he's telling us again. Well, because if he already taught us that you don't need Kavana, according to Rabbi Natan, then why is he coming again to teach us that the position or the person who has such a position is Rabbi Natan? We know that already. That information we know. And that's what we're asking Rava. Rava, why you keep telling us that same position or telling us that same information that Rabbi Natan is the author of such a position? Now the Gemara tells us why you must do that. And that is because the cases are not identical. Since the cases are not identical, each case has a chiddush in it. And that's what Rava comes to teach us, that this is according to the opinion of Rabbi Natan. The Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Natan, will disagree in both these cases. Even though there's a reason to say that they would be Mekil over here or a reason to say they would be Mekil over there, nevertheless, they are not Mekil. And so the position in both instances is Rabbi Natan and not the Chachamim. And that is because Tzricha, Diyashminon Hotam, if you only told me over there by the first Mishnah, the Masechta, Vishum Dekamakavin, Lishum Chaticha Ba'olam. Over there, they're still cutting. Even though they may not be Bnei Dat, they still know that they're doing a cutting motion and they're trying to cut something. Avahoch, over here, where he's throwing the knife into the wall, Lo Kamakavin, it's not Makavin for any cutting whatsoever, Emelo. Maybe it wouldn't work at all. And even Rabbi Natan over here would say, no, no good over here. If we only had our mission over here, over here it's a person who's a bendat who's doing the action, so therefore it can be classified as a shchita even though you didn't have kavana. But the first mission on the Masechta, the lokaati mikoach bendat, since it doesn't come from a koach of a bendat, emalo, let us say no, that it's no good, tzricha, therefore we need it. And the chachamim will be the other way around. That's what Rav is coming to teach us. According to the chachamim, who's saying the first mishnah that it's no good, the shchita, because you're missing kavana. Maybe over here they would agree to Rabbi Natan, because there is koach midin ben dat. So maybe they would agree with him. Along comes Rav and says, no, this mission is also only Rabbi Natan and not the Chachamim. Chachamim do not agree in either of these instances. All right, Itamar, we're going to go now onto a sidebar, deal with a case. Eventually, we'll get back to our Mishnah and connect into the sugi over here. There's a case of Nida she'ne'entza v'tavla. Somehow, she ends up in the mikveh. She was not intending to end up in the mikveh. She didn't go to the mikveh, but she is forced into the mikveh. Or we'll see later on, she fell into the mikveh. Whatever happened, it wasn't her intent to be in the mikveh. Then she comes out, she was a nido, and now she's gone to the mikveh. What's her din when she comes out of the mikveh? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, tehora de beita. She's tahor for her husband, vasura lechol betruma. But on the other hand, she may not eat truma. She's not tehora for truma, but she is tehora for her husband. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, after beita lo tara. She's not Tahora, period. She's still in Nida Legabe her husband, and she's still in Nida Legabe Truma. Amar Le Rova the Rav Nachman. So Rova says to Rav Nachman, the Rav, according to Rav, the Amar Tahora the Beita Ve'asura Lechol B'Truma. Rav's position that she's okay for a husband, but no good for Truma, how could you make such a distinction? What is the punishment for Arayot with a Nida? That's a Chiyuv Karet. On the other hand, what's the punishment for someone who eats Truma B'Tum'a? That's a Chiyuv Mita B'Dei Shamayim. Which is more Chamor, as Rashi points out over here, the one that's more Chamor is Karet. Because Karet involves both the shortening of the lifespan of the individual, as well as the cutting off of the Zera, the destroying of his offspring. So Karet is a much more severe punishment than Mita B'Dei Shamayim. So over here, it seems counterintuitive. Rava is saying, go ahead, and you're kasher, tahor, for your husband, which is a chiyuv karet, but by truma, you're not tahor. So Rava says, I don't understand the distinction. Tosfot over here points out, maybe it should really be the other way around. It should be a kal v'chomer. If she's asura for truma, because we know for sure she's asura for truma, then certainly she should be asura for her husband. Probably the way it should have been phrased, it's just that Gemara is talking from Mitzad Tahara, so the Gemara phrased it the other way around. So why is it? Hucha isur mita miboy? If by Avon Karet we say it's fine, then by Isur Mita Bidei Shemayim, which is the Truma, you need to talk to me about? So Amalei, Rav Nachman responds and says this is the distinction. Bala Chulin Hu. Bala lives in the world of Chulin. V'chulin lo bai kavana. When it comes to Dvarim and Chulin, you do not require Kavana. Kavana is in the realm of Kodashim. It's not in the realm of Chulin. Her husband is in the realm of Chulin. Therefore, when she goes into the mikveh, she doesn't need Kavana. She'll be Tahor. And then Truma, Truma, that's in the world of Kodashim. World of Kodashim, you have to have be Mikhavein to be Mitahir yourself. So therefore, she would require active Kavana in order to be Mitahir herself. It won't be enough that she fell into the mikveh. Umana Temra, how can I prove to you that there's such a case, or that is true, that Chulin does not require a Kavana? That's not, we have a Mishnah. Gal, Chenitlash. You have a wave that's separated. Ubo Arbaim Sa'a, and the wave itself has 40 Sa'a within it. Minafala Ladam Vala Kelim. It fell on an individual, and the utensils that he had, Tehorim, they're all Tahor. My love, how would you look at the Adam and the Kelim here? Adam Dumya de Kelim, the man just like the utensils that are there. Ma Kelim de lo mikavne, just like by the Kelim have no Kavana. They're inanimate objects, so of course they have no Kavana over here. Av Adam, nami lo boi Kavana, so to over here, the Adam does not require Kavana, and when the wave falls on him, he's Tahor. One says, Mimai, how do you know that's the case over here? How do you know the case over here is that the Adam has no Kavana? Dilma be Yoshevu mitzapeh askinan. Maybe he's sitting and waiting for the wave. He says, I'm setting myself up right here, and the wave's going to come, and I'm going to be all set. Yoshev mitzapeh askinan ematait lo shagal. When will this wave come and cover me? Ve'kelim dumia da Adam. And we'll learn the other way around. The Kelim are just like the Adam. Ma Adam debinan Kavana. Just like the Adam requires Kavana, or Ma Adam debar Kavana, that he is a bar Kavana, and therefore he intends for the wave to be entire himself. Of Kelim Nami, the Kamakabin Lahu Adam. So too, by the Kelim, that the Adam has Kavana for the Kelim in order to make them Tahor. So maybe you do require Kavana. V'chiteima, the Gemara says, V'yoshev mitzapeh, Maile Memra. So what are you going to say to me? What's the Chiddush over here? What's the Chiddush? V'yoshev mitzapeh. Of course, if it's Yoshev mitzapeh as Kavana, of course he's Tahor. So what's the Chiddush over here? Tosfos reads, what's Maile Memra over here means, if you want to say that it's Yoshev mitzapeh, that's not what the Mishnah reads. Mishnah does not read anything like that. It doesn't sound like it's Yoshevu Mitzapeh. If you're going to superimpose that, it must be that you have a Chiddush in that. What's the Chiddush? Ma'udu teimo ligzor mishum chardolit shel gishamim. Maybe we'll make a din because of a rainwater that's flowing. If you have rainwater that's on the move, that is not a kosher mikveh. Rashi over here says it's not a kosher mikveh because you don't have the 40 saw, even though there's 40 saw upstream and downstream. It doesn't count because you need 40 saw in a single location. Tosfot points out that that's irrelevant, whether it's upstream, downstream, anything like that. By rainwater, you need ashboren. You need it to be gathered into a single location. You can't have it be flowing. A mikveh doesn't work when it's moving. A mikveh only works when it's stationary, when it's gathered together, it's an ashboren. So also over here, what's the din? If you have a chadalit shel gishamim, you have a flowing river of rainwater, then you can't go to the mikveh there because it's not a kosher mikveh. So what I would say over here, maybe I should worry about the waves in the ocean. The flowing water out of the ocean, I should worry about that, just like I worry about a stream of rainwater. Inami, ligzor rashina to kipin. Or maybe I should make zera from the front end of the wave to the middle of the wave. Kamashbalan, dilo gazrinan. Kamashbalan is that we don't get that, make such a zera. And over here, it's okay to be tovel, even if you're shevim mitzapeh. even though it may not seem to be a chiddush, but even when you're shiv mitzvah, you have kavana for this, tara, nevertheless, there's still a chiddush here, because I could have had reasons to say no. One reason might be because I'm worried about rainwater in a similar situation. The other possibility, I'm worried about the arc of the wave versus the front end of the wave. How do I know that you don't go to the mikveh in the kippin? And the wave has three parts to it. It has the front end of the wave that's coming over. You have the arc of the wave and then the back of the wave. So over here, we're suggesting that there's a difference between the front of the wave and the arc of the wave. And we'll explain that in 1 second. But it's not. And there's really no Mishnah like this. It's the Tanya. Matbilin b'rashin v'ein matbilin b'kibin. You're allowed to do tefillah in the rashin, but not in the kippim. She'ein matbilin b'avir. And here's the explanation why, because you can't do tefillah in the air. We have a person standing on the beach. That's what it sounds like from here, according to Rashi, standing on shore. And then a wave comes, and he's waiting for this wave to come. Yes. Right, he's standing on the shore naked, that is correct. And he is awaiting this wave. So the wave comes, if the front end of the wave catches him, then it's okay, because then we classify it as a big mechuber the karka. As if he, with the water, is now attached to the ground, and that's okay. That's considered to be a good mikveh, and he's fine. The problem is if he then throws kelim up into the arc of the wave, if he throws things up into that arc of the wave, there we do not allow it, because then it's up in the avir. It's a floating mikveh, and we don't have a floating mikveh. You have to have a mikveh that is grounded, literally. Literally and figuratively, it has to be grounded, and therefore we only allow you to do the tevilah in the rashim and not in the kippim of the waves. So I would have thought, and that's the havamin here, that I should be gozer the rashim atu kippin. We don't want people doing the front end of the waves because maybe they'll do the middle of the waves. The answer is we're not gozer in that instance. But now we lost our proof that chulin doesn't require kavana. And that's what the Gemara says now. Elo chulin lo bai kavana miya minolon. Where do you know the fact that chulin does not require kavana? It's not, and we have it from this case. Peirot shenafalu l'tocha matamayim. You have fruits that fell into the canal, the waterway. Upashat. Someone has tamei yadayim, and he puts them into this amatamayim. Vinatlani takes the fruits out. Yadav teorot. In this case, his hands now are tahor. Uperot einan bichiyutan. The perot are not mukhsharim lekabel tuma, because he didn't intend to do anything. He didn't intend for the water. He doesn't want the water. He has nothing but this water is biratzon, is to his will, and therefore the water is not mukhshar lekabel tuma for the perot. If he specifically intends to be mitaher his yadayim when he puts them into the amatamayim, then his yadav are torot. That's fine. Uperot b'chiyutan. But the perot now are mukhsharin lekabel tuma, because now he did want the water. He intended to be mitaher his yadayim. That means he wants the water. And the ratzon by hechshar lekabel tuma, the fact that it has to be you want the water. You want the water. We saw earlier in the Masechta, if you put a bowl on top of a wall. If you're using the bowl just to protect the wall, then that water you don't want. On the other hand, if you want the bowl to collect the water or deflect the water somewhere else to be used, that water becomes the ratzon. Even though you didn't want it necessarily to wash the perot, but since you want the water, that's enough. And when you want the water, it doesn't matter if you want the water up front, I mean that's what you thought or you intended for up front, or even in the back end you want the water. Now that the perot in there, you say, oh great, I'll put my hands in there, they'll become tahor. That's enough of a ratzon by the mayim to make a makshir the kabel tuma. What we learn from here is that when he sticks his hands into the water, he doesn't require any kavana over here. In the first case, he simply puts his hands in the water to take out the fruits, and we say his hands are tahor. Well, why should his hands be tahor? He wasn't mikaveh to be mitayer them. The answer is that chulin lo boi kavana. That's exactly what we're trying to prove here, that chulin doesn't require kavana. And that's how we get that principle learnt out from this Mishnah that we just quoted. Now, the idea being tovel yadayim, that's just a din d'rabbanan. In general, tefillah is used for the entire body. Netilat yadayim is used for the hands. The chachamim or gozer in certain instances where you have tumat yadayim, that the only way to be mitahor the yadayim is to put them into a mikveh or a mayan. So those are the cases that we're speaking about here where he puts the hands into the water and then they become tahor. Meaning putting your hands in the mikveh is the equivalent of doing netilat yadayim, but it's netilat yadayim plus. So instead of doing netilat yadayim, you could stick your hands in the mikveh and it'll be just fine. But sometimes the chachamim demanded that you put your hands in the mikveh and netilat yadayim would not suffice in those cases. So now, Etevei, Robo the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman over here suggested that the difference in the case here is between Chulin and Kodashim. And therefore, by Chulin you don't require Kavanah, by Kodashim you do. So Robo now challenges Rav Nachman. Tava l'Chulin, v'chzak l'Chulin. Person goes to do Tevila for Chulin, and he intends to do a Tevila l'Chulin, asur l'maser. It doesn't work for maser. I mean, the fact that you are mitar yourself for Chulin, means that you are not tahor yet for maser. You have to specifically have in mind to be tahor for maser, for you to be tahor the maser. That's true of all levels. Maser is not good enough for truma, truma is not good enough for kodashim, so on and so forth. Kodashim is not good enough for para. If every level of kedusha you want to attain, you must have that in mind, specific intention, kavanah, to be mitahir yourself on that level. So what do you see from this? Braito is tavalu chulin v'chukzak to chulin. That he did tefillah chulin and chukzak to chulin. He had kavanah for chulin. Chukzak in, lo chukzak lo. Sounds like the only way that you are tahor for chulin is if you had kavanah. If you didn't have kavanah, no. That there's two things here. It could be tavalu chulin, which means you do tefillah and you have no kavana whatsoever. Then you're tahor for chulin. On top of that, chukzak to chulin, even if you did the, with kavana to chulin, you had intentions for chulin, that's still not good enough for maser. So you have two types of tefillah by chulin. You have tefillah, we have no intention whatsoever. That still makes you tahor for chulin. You have a tefillah by chulin where you intended to be mitayar yourself for chulin. That also works for chulin. Neither of those work for maser. And that's the chiddush of the Braita. The chiddush of the Braita is that even though you intended to become tahor, that's not good enough for maaser. Now next, Etavei asks another question from another Braita. Taval velo huchzak. He did a tefillah. He didn't have any kavana. Kilo lo taval. It's as if he didn't do a tefillah. My love kilo taval klal. It's as if he didn't do any tefillah whatsoever. Lo. Kilo lo taval maaser about tavalu chulin. He has nothing in mind. He has no kavana. If he just does a satam tefillah, then it's good enough for chulin, but it's not a good enough tefillah for maaser. Who savar? Rova thought, dechuye kamedachile. Rav Nachman was just trying to push him away, that he had really good questions here from these braitot, and Rav Nachman was just answering him to get rid of him. Nafak dak vashkach, he went and did a little search, and he found out that that wasn't the case, Netanya. He has a braita that supports this position of Rav Nachman. Taval velo huchzak mutar duchulin vasur demaser. It's explicit. He does a tefillah, and he has no kavana whatsoever. He's mutar lo chulin, that's a good tefillah for chulin, but not a good tefillah for maser. To say exactly that distinction, that by chulin you require no kavanah, whereas by kodashim you do require kavanah. And that was the explanation of Rav's position when it came to the nensa hanida v'tavla. So Amar le Rabbi le Rav Yosef, le metavi tiyupta de Rabbi Yochanan. Well, if that's true, let us say that this is a huge question of Rabbi Yochanan meha from this braita. The fact that there is such a distinction between chulin and maaser and chulin and truma, that should be a big problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said in the case that we mentioned before of nida shenansa b'tavla, he said the din is asur lebala and asur letruma. He made no such distinction. So wait, how could Rabbi Yochanan be disagreeing with the braita that says there is such a distinction between chulin and kodoshim? So how could Rabbi Yochanan make such a statement? It should be a strong question against Rabbi Yochanan. Amalecha Rabbi Yochanan, hu damar Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that I hold like Yonatan ben Yosef. I have a Tana who supports my position, the Tanya. Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef omer b'chubas. Ma tamud omar shenit. It says b'chubas shenit, that you wash the clothing a second time. Me'ekish tichboset shnia tichboset rishona. It has a hekesh between the second laundering of the clothing to the first laundering of the clothing. Matich boset rishna ledat, just like the first laundering of the clothing was done intentionally. Because over there it says he brings in the clothing, it has tzarat on it. The Kohen directs them to wash that nega out. To wash the nega out to see if it comes back in pasa, if it gets bigger, or does it get smaller, does it get more faint. But he washes the beged out at the instructions of the Kohen. So there's clear covenant to do the laundering. Ach tich boset shnia. Tich boset shnia is when after the second time it's brought back, they find that the beged is not tameh, then you launder it and take it out. That laundering means tevilah, to be mitaheret. So too, tikvot shnia ledat has to be done with intent and with kavana. Ima lahalan binan dat kohen, afkan binan dat kohen. I would think maybe just like you need dat kohen in the first laundering, so too you'll need dat kohen in the second laundering. Tamalomar b'taher, that it's tahor no matter what. Mikom makom, taher is tahor. You don't need the kohen involved in the second process of laundering, meaning with the tevilah of the keili, in order for it to be tahor. You see from Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef that you require dat even by chulin. Over here we're talking about a beged of chulin. We're talking about putting it into the mikveh at the end. In order for it to be tahor, you have to have kavana, according to Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. Matki flav Rabbi Simi Barashi umia Rabbi Yochanan hochi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that you do require kavana by chulin? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan locha kistam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says in general, he has a principle that gets him into trouble in a lot of places. Rabbi Yochanan says it's halacha shtam mishnah. And then many other times in Shas, we find that Rabbi Yochanan says halacha like something or somebody. And then we say, wait a minute, doesn't he hold like a stam mishnah? We have a stam mishnah that disagrees with that position. So it's over here. We have halacha kestam mishnah disagree with that position. That's not our mishnah. This is how we get all the way back to our mishnah, finally. Nafla sakin v'shachta. The sakin falls by itself in the shechita. Afo pishu shachta kedarka psula. Vavina ba time of the nafla. And on that, we mentioned that it's only because it fell by itself. Ha hi pilahu kshera. If he intentionally throws it, drops it, knocks it off, then it would be a kshera. Va'afa gav delo mikavein. Over here, it doesn't require any kavana, and it'd still be ksherim. That's our mishnah. That's the diokat of our mishnah. That's our mishnah. If it's halacha kistam mishnah, that means Rabbi Yochanan also holds of it. Rabbi Yochanan holds of that distinction, again, that you do not require kavana by chulin, and you do require by kodeshim. He should have drawn that distinction between the baal and the truma. Va'amrinan man tana delo bayi kavana l'shchita. Who's the tana who says you don't require any kavana for shchita? Amarova Rabbi Notan he. That's Rabbi Notan. And since it's Rabbi Notan, who's the author of our mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan says halacha kistam mishnah, means Rabbi Yochanan is saying halacha ke Rabbi Notan. That the halacha is like Rabbi Notan, that you do not require a kavanah for shechita. Yet we just said that Rabbi Yochanan's position is based on the fact, or based on the position of Yonatan ben Yosef, who says you do need kavanah by kulin. So how do we reconcile that? Where it says, b'shechita afilu Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. When it comes to shechita, even Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef agrees you don't require kavanah. Midgoli rachmano, because the Torah makes it explicit. That means mitasek v'kodashim pasul. That when someone is mitasek, when it comes to kodashim, it's pasul. Michlal, what can we infer from that? The chulin lo bayi kavanah. By chulin, you don't require it. Mitasek does not work by kodashim, but it does work by chulin. So if that's the case, we now have, even according to Yonatan ben Yosef, who says generally we do require kavanah by chulin, shechita will be the exception to that rule, because we have the Torah telling us specifically that you only require kavanah by kodashim. You do not require that kavanah by chulin. Rabbanon. Now the Rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says you don't require kavanah here by shkita whatsoever. The Rabbanon who disagrees with Rabbi Natan, who said it's psula, they nehi de lo bein and kavanah lezbicha. True, you don't require kavanah lezbicha. This is what you were just asking. So you don't need kavanah for the specific korban that you're bringing. The chaticha beinan. You still need kavanah for cunning. So by chulin, the distinction between kodashim and chulin is, by chulin, you'll need a minimum kavanah. What's minimum kavanah? That you're cutting. And as Tosfos said again, Tosfos points out that it's not just cutting, it means cutting of the simanim. You have to intend for that. By kodashim, we'll make another demand on top of you that you are shochet, that you're intending to do shechita. Now, which korban, for what reasons, we said in the Gemara in Zvachim that the Beit Din made a takana that if you do nothing, you'll be fine. That all the kavanot that you need, the six different kavanot you need, will automatically be imposed on it if you don't say anything. But you have to be intending to do shechita. So that'll be the machlok between Rabbi Notan and the Chachamim. Chachamim say you need a minimum of wanting to do a chaticha, a cut. And according to Tosafot, again, a cut of simanim. Whereas according to Rabbi Notan, you don't have any minimum kavanot. You need no thoughts whatsoever. Amarava beha zakinhu Rabbi Notan Rabbanon. On this point, Rabbi Notan really trumped the Rabbanon. Miktiv v'chatachto. The pasuk doesn't say when it comes to shechita v'chatachto that you should cut. V'zavachta ktiv. It says that you should do shechita. Ibeinan kavana l'chaticha. If, like you say, the rabbanon, you require kavana, at least a cutting kavana, then afil zvicha namili boy. Then you should have also require a kavana for zvicha, because the term that's used here for to mean shechita is v'zavachta. So if you're going to tell me that the kavana you need is a minimum kavana of chaticha, well, how do you know that? Because the din of shechita is cutting. Well, where do you learn that out? You learn that from the word zavachto. Well, if that's the case, then also you should have a minimum kavanah, should also include zvicha. Ilo beinin kavanah lezvicha. If you don't require kavanah by zvicha, then chaticha namelo yiboy. If you don't require kavanah for the zvicha, for shechita itself, then you shouldn't have to require kavanah for the chaticha, because where are you going to learn it out from? So that's the end of the discussion here. Now the Gemara flashes back and says, let me just ask you a very practical question. Hey chidomi, what is that case? By the nida that nentzach, where was the case that the nida shenentzach v'tavla? How do you force someone to do a tvila? How did someone get forced into a tvila? Ilem in the ansa chaverta v'tavla. She had a good friend, dumped her into the mikveh and pushed her under. So that's what you think? Then kavanah de chaverta, kavanah ma'altiyatihi. She doesn't need kavanah. The one who's putting her in the mikveh has to have kavanah. Meaning that as long as the person who's throwing her in the mikveh has kavanah to be metayer her, that's good enough. You can impose that kavanah on the individual. Ve'od, b'truma nami ochla. And if that's the case, she could even eat the truma. Forget about being mutter to her husband. She should be able to eat truma as well. Ditznan, ha'chereshet, v'ashoteh, v'asuma, sh'nitrafa da'ata. All these people who are considered to be not bardat, or for some reason they're incapable of taking care of themselves. So that's either someone who has lost their mind, blind person, or someone is not of sound mind anymore. Im yesh lahem pikachot mitaknot otan. If they have people who are of sound mind taking care of them, ochlot b'truma, they can eat truma. If you have people who are of sound mind taking care of these individuals, checking when they become tamei, putting them into the mikveh, taking care of all these items, then they are fine to take truma. That shows you that these people can impose kavana l'tara on them. They become like an inanimate object, like a keli. Where an Adam puts a keli in, his kavana is what guides for the keli. So to over here, these individuals who are not of their own dat, they're going out dat another person. The other person's dat is imposed on them like an inanimate object. And therefore they will be ksherim, they'll be totally tahor. If they're totally tahor, she should be able to eat truma. Forget about just their husband. So Amar Papa, the case here is Rabbi Natan shenafla min a gesher. According to Rabbi Natan, the case for this woman is where she fell off the bridge. She was walking across the river, and then she falls into the water from the bridge. According to the Rabbanan, it's a case where she went down to cool off, and then she fell all the way in or went under the water. So according to Rabbi Natan, you don't have to have intention for anything. You don't have the intention for anything whatsoever by Shechita. We don't even care that you have intention to cut. So too over here, by the mikveh. She didn't have any intention to go in the water whatsoever. She's crossing the bridge. The bridge collapses and she falls into the water and falls into the mikveh. In that case, she's tahor, according to Rabbi Natan, because you don't require kavanah by chulin at all. Whereas according to the Chachamim, we require a minimum of chaticha. You have to have a minimum kavanah. So here, they require a minimum that she intended to go in the water. So what does it mean she intended to go into the water, but she wasn't doing a tefillah? She went in to cool off. She went to take a bath, cool off in the water. Then she falls in and goes under. Then she's already in the mikveh, and she's going to the mikveh, even though that was not her intent when she went in. Okay, we'll just do the little piece here until the Mishnah, and then we'll continue with the Mishnah tomorrow. Amar Rava. Shachat para v'shachat behema acheret ima. Person does shchita on a para, and at the same time he's doing a shchita on another behema that's there. The divrei akol psula. Everybody holds that para duma is psula, because we learned this principle before, that you're not allowed to do any other work while you're working on the para duma. What's called mishum malacha acheret. You're not allowed to have a hesach hadat. You're not allowed to have your mind on anything else besides the para duma. Over here, where you're cutting the other behema along with the para duma, and you're intending to do shechita on both of them, the fact that you have in mind to do shechita on the other animal makes the shechita by the para duma psula because of what we call malacha acheret. The second behema is ksheira, because you did an intentional shechita on it. That behema tchulin is totally fine. Nishkata behema acheret ima. Over here, it wasn't that he intended to shech the second animal, it just happened to happen. Another behemat chulin was on the other side of the paraduma. He went to cut the paraduma. He also ends up cutting the behemat chulin. But that wasn't his intent. He didn't intend to shech it, it just happened. So, l'Rabbi Natan, according to Rabbi Natan, para psula behemat ksheira. According to Rabbi Natan, the second animal, the chulin animal, is ksheira, because Rabbi Natan doesn't require any kavanah whatsoever when you do shechita. That's exactly what happened here. He was cutting the paraduma. He had no intent for the other animal. All of a sudden, he realizes that he cut through the other animal's neck as well. So according to Rabbi Natan, that's a good shechita. On the other hand, the paraduma is psula over here. Now, he's not psula because of malacha acheret. It's not because you're doing something else while you're shechting the paraduma. It's not like you're mitasek in something else because you didn't know about it. Nishchata, it happened by itself. The problem here is that you did something that was halachically efficacious. You did another shechita. Turns out to be okay. And we have a limud we're going to see in a second in the pasuk, which is shechatota velo ata ve'et chaverta. Shecht it, but not it and its friend. So it and its friend means if there's something happens to its friend and you have a kosher shechita by its friend, then the shechita by the paraduma is no good. So that's the problem over here. According to Rabbi Natan, since the shechita is a good shechita by the chulin, the shechita of the paraduma is no good. Lirabanan, according to Rabbanan, who say you need a minimum of kavanah here, by the shechita you need a minimum of chaticha that you intend to cut. By the tefillah, you have to have a minimum that you intend to go in the water. So over here too, the fact is, nishchata, the animal was nishchat by itself. You have no kavanah to cut it whatsoever. Nothing doing. Therefore, the rabbanan parak shera, para dumas shera. Why? Because the behemah is psula. The behemah chulin is not a good shechita. Since it's not a good shechita, you didn't intend for that shechita, so it's not a problem of malacha acheret. And number two, it's not halachically efficacious because it's not a good shechita according to Rabbanan. You didn't even have the minimum kavana that was required over here. Since you didn't have that minimum requirement, it's a shechita psula. It's a shechita psula, then it doesn't affect the para aduma. Where it says pshita. All of this is simple. You're basically laying out their shitot, and it makes sense. The shita tam, everything here makes sense and is easy. Why do you have to tell me this? Where it says nishkata beima acheret the Rabbi Natan itzrichale. I need this one piece of the statement of Rava. That's the chiddush that he's teaching us. That according to Rabbi Natan, in a case where by accident you shech the second animal, I mean without any intent, you end up shechting the behemah tchulin, I needed to teach me that. Because salchadat chamina, I would have thought v'shachat ota amar rachmano by the paraduma says v'shachat ota v'lo ata v'chaverta, not it and its friend v'chidami. What do you mean it and its friend? What would I thought it and its friend means? K'gon sheshchat shtei parot v'hadadi. He shechted the two parot adumot at the simultaneously. That's when it's a problem. Aval behemat chulin aim alo. But behemat chulin will not be malev alo morid. It won't be matter. It won't matter at all. It's as if it doesn't exist. So maybe the behemat chulin won't affect it. Kamash malon, that it does affect. That the behemat chulin being there affects the paraduma. So if the behemat chulin is kasher, then the paraduma is psula. If the behemat chulin is not kasher, then the paraduma will be ksherah. Now, here we have something that's divrei hakol, which is chatach galat ima. The same time he's doing the shechita on the paraduma, he intentionally cuts through a gourd. Divrei hakol psula. Everybody is going to agree there that it's pasul, because he's intending to cut something else that's malocha acheret at the same time he's doing the shechita of the paraduma. That was like the first bava that we say in Rava. The shachat parav shachat beima chulin. If he does it to something else at the same time, that's malocha acheret and that's problematic. On the other hand, nechtecha dalat, on the other hand, ima, if he was shechting the paraduma and he unintentionally cuts a gourd, then divrei hakol ksherah. Everybody agrees that the paraduma here is ksherah. Because what you did on the gourd is not, that has no halachic significance. You cut through a gourd. Cutting through a gourd is not a problem of malacha acheret here because you didn't intend to cut through it. It happened to cut through it, but that wasn't your intention. So what could be the problem? The problem is, shechat ota v'lo et chaverta. But that's only in a case where you're talking about shechita, where you do something that's efficacious halachically, like we saw by Rabbi Natan. If you do a kosher shechita by the behemat chulin, it affects the paraduma, makes it psula. Over here, when you cut the dalat by mistake, you've done nothing. From a halachic standpoint, that additional cut is meaningless. So since it's meaningless, you can't say that it's shechat ota velo ota v'et chaverta, and does not affect the paraduma, and therefore the divrei hakol, it is ksheira. Okay, with that, we'll stop, and we'll continue with the new Mishnah tomorrow.